Good to be here. We're continuing with our study on church leadership. Though at the moment we're focusing a little bit on elders, of course we're still going to be continuing to look at all aspects of leadership. And if you remember, don't forget the emphasis. These are roles, responsibilities. Including the responsibility that we have as members as well as Christians. So, you know, remember that. The church member is not excluded from responsibilities. Responsibilities come through all different directions and ways within the church. So what we did was we started over, we've been looking the last couple of weeks, specifically the reference to elders and their responsibilities, but we was looking at how we identify them and looking at some of the areas that people sometimes forget, because what happens is some people come along and they go to Timothy and Titus and they zoom down the list and they tick the boxes and say, there you go. And so what we wanted to do was look at the other areas, things, for example, like an elder would agree with the Bible as God's word. It goes without saying. Every Christian can relate to that. And we all would agree that the Bible is God's word. You know, that's the tool that we use. And the only true guide. Now, they may refer to books, may use books, and may look at other preachers and teachers who have put books together and put things that they've studied and learned and explained methods and processes. However, the only true guide that an elder will focus on is the Holy Word. That is the key. And so, before you even think about considering Timothy and Titus, this would come into it. You know, an elder would be one with reference to that. We won't look at this one now, just in 2 Timothy 3:15 through 16, of course, it says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. In other words, when you become a Christian, you become a child of God. And so from that moment, you know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So from the key moment of baptism, listen, if you baptize because something somebody has said and you've not heard the word of God, you know, it's not going to work. And so an elder would be, when identifying an elder, you would be looking for men who recognize that fact. And then the same passage says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. In other words, it's an identification that this is the voice of God. Okay? And it is, what is it? It's profitable. We touched on this. We said profit is, that's life, isn't it? We're looking, you know, we put a money into the savings. We would expect to get some interest from that. But it's profitable, but for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. In other words, a brother who was seeking eldership or aspiring to eldership, or for the church to recognize, they'd say, this is a man who knows his Bible. He understands that the word of God is the true guide. We also said that to identify somebody like an elder would be someone who loves the church. Loves the church. Ephesians 5:25, what does it say? Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for the church. And so, elders are people who love the church. It is not just something, you know, I don't know if you've ever done a job that you didn't really love the job. You don't give it your best. You go and do the basics. You get through what you've got to do and get home as quickly as you can. And no sooner you do arrive at work, you're looking at the time and watching the clock and thinking, I just want to get out of here. I want to earn my money and go home. Your heart's not in this work that you were doing. Well, elders are men who love the role, and they are men who the role is a passion. It's something that means something to them. Now, we talked, if you remember, in our Bible class, if anybody's missed any of the classes, go back to the MP3 recordings that are on the church group site so that you can see. So, because we want to make sure you see, we're covering everything here. Okay, I don't want people to come and say, well, we, you know, we've missed something out here. It's in there. Elders are men who love the church, and regardless, they may get a lot of problems. They're going to get problems. They're going to get criticism. Then all kinds of things may go on. People may be offensive to them. People may say something or do something or act in a certain way. Maybe they're caught up in a sin that the elders are dealing with, which isn't a pretty thing to deal with. But the elders have to be men who love the church, just as Christ loved his people, his, you know, in the same way. Christ gave himself for the people who rejected him. And so with reference to that, we see that husbands loving their wives in that way. We also looked, last week, we was looking at elders need to know how to worship. And we automatically think worship is here. We're coming here today to worship God. We're going to sing praises to God. We're going to pray to God. We're going to break bread around the table. And we do things in a way. And we do things in an order. In some, maybe different orders. But we fill out, make sure everything's in there. And we have our sermon. And we take our communion. And everything is done. And elders know how to work. Listen. An elder needs to know how to worship in every aspect of his life. Our lives are a continual worship to God. I remember Joe Nisby, you'll remember Joe Polly, one of the elders at that time at the Bible school when I was there. I remember going on a journey in Joe Nisby's car, one of the elders. And that man would not go a slightly over the speed limit. It seemed to take forever. And we were on these clear roads and there was no one around. You could just put your foot down and just go, but he observed the law, regardless of who was there. Because what he was doing was living an example of the fact that his life is a worship to God. Even though no one else can see, he knows that there is a law in place and he is going to observe. That is worship. That is worship. An elder who stands by the pattern that is the right way of living. Every aspect of his life. Is he going to be perfect? No. Will he make mistakes? Yes. If we are looking for a perfect man, forget it. We will never have an elder in this congregation. If we're looking for absolute perfection, forget it. Will never happen. Never have an elder. We are looking for men who understand and are striving for these things and maybe make a mistake along the way, like we all do, but they recognize that mistake and they rectify that mistake and they put that mistake right. That is the sort of people we're talking about. When we're looking. So we're looking at all aspects of life. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Let me see if I've got this one up here. I think I have. Okay, we have. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least that is expected of you. Reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we use the passage quite often in our classes, but this is what we're talking about worshiping. Now, when we are looking at these roles in the church, and when we're looking at these responsibilities, everybody, this is why I love it when the whole congregation studies this. This subject is for everybody. It's for everybody, male, female, all of us. You know, these are the things that we want to strive after. There may be brothers who may not qualify later down the line. They may not be what the Bible is asking for. However, they're striving after these things. What a great place the church will be. Because people are saying, you know, I'm aspiring to something. I want to be the best. And brothers, but you might be a single brother, or you may not even be married. But it doesn't make a difference. You can strive forward and go for these qualities and become the best that you can be for the kingdom of God. So God can use you in his life. And so he says, what does he say? Well, I beseech you therefore, who brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself. In other words, your life is a present. You're presenting yourself to our God. And so these things there are key things. One of the things that we're going to say as well is, and we touched on this, elders will be able to work with others. Okay? There's no such thing as one elder. Elders. More than one. The more the better. The more the better. But elders will be able to work with others. You will identify that. Now, you may say, that's me. And I've said this before. The things that we are looking at are things that we can develop. For example, you know, when we look at passages like Galatians 5, and we look at the fruit of the Spirit, you think to yourself, well, hang on a minute. These are things that you may say, well, that's my problem, long suffering. You know, I'm not a patient person, maybe, or I get angry. But these are things that we can develop and change and grow in our lives. So we're not saying, right, we're going to, you know, you look down the list and you sort of say, right, these are the qualities and these people are all out. And this is things that we can change and develop in our lives to become the people that God wants us to be. So elders will be able to work with other people. You cannot have an elder that doesn't work with the other elders, because it wouldn't work. Listen, you have one elder that will be better at something than another. One elder might be a better listener. I remember my father, when he was in an eldership, and one brother was a better listener than the other. And so if there was things where someone needed to go and they needed to go and listen to, that was the elder that would go and do that. There was another elder that was more bold. He was more, you know, when things needed to be said, he was the one. He'd come and see you and he'd tell you straight. And so they're all different qualities, but when they combine together, they have these qualities, but some are more probably better than the others in some of these responsibilities and roles, and therefore they work together to make this eldership work. And so, got to be able to work with others. Elders, or men who are seeking to be elders, need to know how to make decisions. This is very important, very important indeed. If you don't have elders in place, who's making all the decisions? Who's making the decisions? Maybe you've got a group of people that are sitting together and not everybody's decision makers. You can end up with all kinds of problems, all kinds of conflicts, all kinds of battles. If we look here in Acts 15, we'll read verse 4 through 6. Does somebody want to read that?
And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter.
Okay, thank you, brother. Right, so here we see a situation that had occurred. Okay, problems in the church will always be there. Will always be there. Okay, let's just go down a bit. Go ahead and read these verses here, please.
Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by John, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia.
Okay, thank you. Right. So, we see a problem had arisen and it needed resolved. We're not going to go into the study of the situation, but there were problems with reference to circumcision and some of the old ways. And the elders examined the problem. So it was the elders that came together, then they made a decision. That's how it will be resolved. They made a decision. And this is an example of leadership. It's where the problem is resolved through hearing, observing, analysing, and decision making. If we don't have men capable of making these decisions, then we end up with a lot of problems, because problems won't be resolved unless somebody makes a decision on them. If you don't have elders in place, who's making the decisions? You could find yourself in a situation where you're losing souls, because decisions need to be made. And so therefore, you know, this is the importance of this. This is one of the characteristics of an elder. If you have elders, those elders will be the one that will have that task. Now remember, when we started the study, we said that these are tasks. So, you know, like I said, we're not going to have a row of three chairs here with three men sitting in their fancy suits. They're the elders. Remember, the elders are the ones that are in the field. So somebody told me about a book the other day, I don't know if anybody's heard it, something like Smell Like, Stinking Like Sheep, or Smelling Like Sheep. It talks about the fact that the shepherds are the ones in the field with the flock. What good would a shepherd be if he's not amongst the people, the sheep? And so the responsibility there is he's got a whole lot of responsibility. He's got to think of decisions, make decisions. There may be a problem, he's got to resolve it, they've got to resolve it. He's got to be the one standing at the door when the enemy is coming. They've got to get past the elders. There may be something in there that he's purging out, something that's causing problems amongst the flock. And so them shepherds will have to go and examine the situation, take note of the decision, and make decisions based on that. And so that is part of the responsibility. It is a responsibility. So we see here the problem had risen, it needed resolved. The elders examined the problem, they then made the decision, and this is the example of leadership. It required a doctrinal response, of course. And so again, we go back to our teachings where we look at the authority by which this teaching comes through the Word of God. And all these things, again, we'll touch on, because as we go into the study and we start looking at some of the key roles, key ways of identifying our leaders, these things fit in. The same as does when we were talking about there have to be men who believe in the Word. Of course they do. Because that is the guide, and we will see that in the process of their life. Let's just look at this.
Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another.
Okay, thank you. So that for the recording, that's Romans 14, verse 19. Okay, good advice made on the backbone of men who can make decisions. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. Peacemakers, bringing peace, takes decisions to bring peace amongst the people, and the things by which one may edify another. I mean, you know, edification and encouragement and leadership, it's all part of the qualities. A shepherd will encourage the sheep into one part of the fold where they are. Or if they're moving them on, they'll move them on in a way where they're guiding them. And there are times when they're going to have to go and get the sheep to move across a little bit and keep them on the right path and on the right route to the direction of which they are heading. So, I want you to think about this. Decisions. Important decisions. If you've got the wrong men, or if you haven't got an eldership in place, then there are important decisions being made by people who may not have the gift to make those decisions. And so you could find yourself in a situation, for example, decisions may be tough ones. Tough decisions. Who will do those tough decisions when elders are not there? Maybe we miss the opportunities, and it could cost eternal life to somebody. Harsh. There's got to be harsh things that have to, at times, be said. You know, I remember elders come to me and speak very blunt to me about things. Very blunt. Almost maybe fall over with the things that they'd said to me as a young man in the church. You were going to be unpopular. Because, and remember, I said that one of the things I do when I teach eldership is I always, you know, I'm almost trying to talk you out of this. Or almost want to talk you out of it. Because I want you to know what you are coming into. What responsibility is there. Unpopular decisions. An elder may make decisions and people aren't going to like it. They won't like it. In some cases, they're going to be awkward situations. But somebody has to be bold enough, brave enough, mature enough, and responsible enough to be able to do those responsible tasks within the church, because they are here to protect the spiritual well-being of the body. So these leaders are men who are here for our benefit. And let me tell you, we're going to come to a study soon that's going to deal with our responsibility to the elders and to the preachers. Our responsibility as a church, because believe me, we have a big responsibility to them as well. So these decisions are decisions that will be made. So the kind of men we're looking for are men who can do this. If you are aspiring for eldership, these are things that you need to be looking at, things that you need to consider about how to approach these things. Remember, it's all based on Scripture, so we back it all with the Word of God, of course. That's the standard by which we make these decisions, but they will be tough, they will be harsh, they'll be unpopular, and there'll be awkward situations as well as great times. There'll be times of joy and times of happiness and times when the elders are going to, you know, just go, it's just going to be great. But there'll be times when this journey will be tough as shepherds. Why do you think it is deemed as a very good thing when a person aspires to take on such a role for the kingdom of God? They're saying to God, I'll take that responsibility. I'll take it. And God looks down and sees a brother in his church who's prepared to stand alongside other like-minded brothers to be protectors of the kingdom, the protectors of the body. That is an incredible responsibility and an incredible gift and a wonderful thing. Listen, elders are dependable. They need to be dependable. Let me show you what comes in with dependable people, stability. Dependable means stability. Because a stable person, it doesn't mean they're not going to have a times of rocky days. It doesn't mean times when they're not going to face some struggles in their duty or responsibility that they undertake, or stability, that's what they are about. Stability through Scripture, stability through prayer, stability through working. Do you remember we said we've got to work with other brothers? So stability with working with other brothers, stability with the church. One of the hardest things is staying stable when things are coming against you. When the world sometimes can seem like it's turning against you. Reliability. If a brother can't get to the midweek class, how can he be an elder? Or support the meetings and be at the meetings. Reliability. You see, the elder needs to be there with the sheep. You can't have a flock of sheep in a field and the shepherd's not turned up that day. So they have to be reliable. Reliability is critical. In eldership and being part of an eldership, of course, there'll be times when maybe they're not there, but they would have already liaison with the other elders and they would work together on some process to make sure that everything is covered. Durability. Let me tell you, it's a big one. because you've got to be strong enough to endure a lot of things. There are going to be times when you're going to be taken down to the floor, and you've got to get back up and stay strong. And you're going to deal with, as we said, some awkward situations, and probably have to face some things face to face and deal with some real serious issues, and you're going to come across a lot of people who are against all that. Listen, if you can't handle that, if you're not don't have the durability to stand firm through those things, then eldership wouldn't be for you. Because these are the things that you have to get through. Now, you're not invincible. Don't look for invincible men, just as I've said before, don't look for perfection. Don't look for men who are Bible scholars. You don't go to a Bible school to become an elder. You don't go to a Bible school to become a preacher. It's a tool that you can use. We study God's word, we learn God's word. That is the tool that we have. Of course, if you go through Bible schools, it's an advantage. It's a bonus. It helps in so many ways. But it doesn't mean we don't have an eldership school. If you go to become an elder, you've got to go to this school. And we'll design you. Listen, you don't make elders. You don't make them. And so these subjects are key. These are so important in understanding what a dependable person is. Stability. So they're able to stay upright. But when they fall, they get back up again. That's stability. It doesn't mean they're not going to have bad moments. Reliability, they're going to be there. If you need them, they'll be there. If someone's sick, they'll be there. If someone's going through some spiritual problems, they'll be there. If there are people who are teaching false doctrine, the elder's there. You can rely on him. He's going to get that guy to one side and say, listen, you've been teaching this. I'm going to show you something. And this is what the Bible teaches. And this, we're here to protect this flock. And so you can't teach doctrines that go against the will of God. And so these are the things that the elder will be able to see, to understand. Elders are not walking biblical encyclopedias. Don't expect an elder to be able to. Listen, I know people who didn't become elders because they couldn't quote passages and things. They knew where to find them. They knew what the Bible taught. It's got nothing to do with being able to just pull the answers. Well, of course, I'm going to be ready in season and out. There are times when you may have to say, oh, I'm going to open it, I know where I can find it. And I'll find it, and I'll show you, and we'll look at it. And maybe it's something that you'll meet up and study with and spend time on. So, don't expect an elder to be able to quote the Bible cover to cover. Don't expect an elder to be able to when I say stability, they'll show times when maybe they struggle a bit, but they're the men who are able to get back upon the feet and stand firm and stand strong, and that is the key. The reliability is that they'll be there, and the durability is that, listen, they'll go through some rough times, but they'll get up and carry on. These are some of the kind of things that we're looking at. And so, listen, there are so many in the world today, and even sometimes in the church, who can seek to influence God's people in the wrong way. And God's shepherds need to be prepared and ready to respond and protect, ready to defend. And as I say, it might be something that they need to take time to look at, and time to study, maybe time to sit with a person and gently and lovingly go through the teaching and explain the Bible as it is written and help people to understand the truth. Elders should be depended upon to do and say the right thing, I think is the best way of putting it. To be ready when needed, year in, year out. Being a parent, those of you who are parents, having children, I've suddenly realised that parenthood never stops. Never stops. You know, I'm still at times going to the needs of my children, 30 years old. And it never stops. But listen, eldership is like that, year in, year out. Men like this exist, that's what's so incredible. And I've met them. I've been in congregations with men
just like this. Men who are very humble. They don't think highly of themselves. They don't flaunt themselves. They walk in, they don't stand there in flashy suits. But they have a presence about them that is amongst God's people. And the people know who they are by the way that they act. When you've got somebody protecting you, you very quickly know who they are. People looking out for you, you very quickly know who those people are in the same in the church. When we are looking at elders, this is an interesting one. Do you know elders are able to share feelings? If you've got elders that don't ever show feelings, I'd be a bit concerned about that. I really would. Elders who are not willing to share feelings, to me, are people who say, I'm above that. I'm okay, I'm perfect. You know, I don't have problems in my life. I don't have struggles in my life. Let's look at a passage in Acts 20.
And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship.
Okay, thank you, brother. Look at the emotion here. Okay? They knelt. They prayed. They wept. They embraced. So they fell on Paul's neck. They embraced. And they kissed him. This is why the greeting kiss, you know, in some countries they greet each other with a kiss. They knelt, they wept, they embraced, they kissed on the cheek, they show emotions. Elders are men who will be able to show emotions and show that they're real, they're normal people, they're not invincible. I think, over the last few years, so many things going on in my life. You know, my wife takes ill, didn't even know who I was, didn't know my name, couldn't coordinate, couldn't speak, just sat. There were times when I would sit at night and just stare and look at her and she'd just be not with it. So I'm unable at the moment to have the conversations I used to have. Years ago, I'd walk in my house and my wife would say, how's your day, Paul? And hey, you're looking a bit down, are you okay? Do you want to talk about it? Because we're a couple, we're married. She's like the other half of me, we're part of me. We are a body together. We know that as a married couple, we're one. And so, for a time, you lose that, and slowly we're starting to gain it back. It takes time. But that is a big part of your life. And so for all this time, you see your wife going through this, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know, I didn't know whether the operation would be successful, I don't know whether the radiotherapy is going to be, we don't know. One thing we do know is we trust God. But I remember at the time, all that going on, I remember one of my daughters, you know, she went through a real bad experience. And so I get a call at night and I go to Leicester Royal Infirmary. She's sitting on the floor in a car park, crying with her head in hands like that. And you see these things going on. And so she went through depression and anxiety, was on medication and having counselling. Each time you see, she goes through all these things going on in her life. And so you've got all these things going on around you. And I know there are other people like that in here. I know that. You know, going through similar things. And you see a lot of things going on in your life, and there are times when you build up like a pressure cooker, you know? And you have to release that little whistle on the top that blows all the steam out. And so, listen, unless you can release the pressure, you won't stand. You won't last. You have to let it out. Yeah, I remember a few years back, I'll tell you now, a few years back when I was at Paul Road, I was desperately wanting to meet up with preachers and teachers. I thought, well, if I organise a day and they all come and we can sit together and talk and share. So I organised this day, we made the cage. I sat all day and no one showed up. Sat there all day. No one showed up. Preachers around the UK, no one came. And I gave my food away to the community centre and let them have it. And you think to yourself, you either allow these things to bring you down, or you become strong and use these things for your strengths. And so I didn't look and think to myself, why I'm so angry that these people, I thought it's sad, there must be something, there must be a problem, there must be a reason behind it. And so you build up the pressure. And so you've got to express your emotion. You've got to, otherwise you build up and you explode. What good are you for anything? How could I be a minister? Or how could an elder be an elder? And so through that, by linking up with other preachers and people I know in Scotland, he gave me an opportunity to meet with them and talk about our ministries. And we can let our steam off and pray for each other and say, hey, yeah, I'll go through that in my ministry. And so slowly but surely, you start to be able to it's called showing your emotion. Don't be afraid to show your emotion. And elders, don't be, the last thing you need is tough guy elders who show no emotion. I'm not going to let my, they think it's a weakness to let themselves be seen emotionally. But the elders that we are looking for, let me tell you, the elders here, we want men who can show and express their emotion. Kneeling down and praying with them all, they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. The emotions that they had was for the loss of someone they loved. And so we go through emotions. Elders, listen, brethren, elders, preachers are not invincible. Believe me. You know, you can be very, you've got to be careful. You know, you can put an obstacle in front of their feet, a preacher's foot or an elder's foot, they can fall over it. And it could take away their credibility, their ability to do their work and their role. And we'll come to this when we come to the church's responsibility. And so emotion is very important. Elders, listen, elders aren't trained counsellors. They aren't financially fixed to resolve everything. That you may be lucky, you may have a trained counselor elder. These are men who are not here to fix everything. There are things they won't be able to fix. Their job is to teach and to guide and to direct. And if people are not willing to take it, listen, elders, you've done your bit. You can do no more but pray for these people. And that is important, because some people don't want to be elders and they think, I'm not going to fix everything. You're not here to fix everything. You're not here to fix anything. You're not the doctors, you're not the surgeons. Your job is to feed and nourish, direct and guide and protect the church of God. That is your role. That is your responsibility, to help the church to be spiritually strong, spiritual leaders. Not the central eating. We said it every week, haven't we? The central eating's down, don't go to your elders. Leave them be. They're busy doing spiritual work. That's their job. The deacons, their job will be the eaters. We'll see the deacons. And so these are responsibilities and roles that they have specifically for their role. They need to feel with the church in times of joy and sadness. And the reason I say this is, look, we said about emotions, an elder can show that emotion. I remember an elder, he cried every time he prayed, especially around the Lord's table. Every time he prayed for me, he poured his eyes out, every time. And this is important, you know, to be able to feel confident enough that, listen, you know, an elder is not some strong, mighty man who is unable to show emotion, whether it is joy or sadness. He's the man that will weep when a sheep is lost. He's the one that's thinking, how am I going to get that sheep back? And he weeps. And he's the one that when he's able, if he's able, by God, to bring that sheep back, he's the one that's going to be calling the banquet and the party rejoicing in all these situations. Okay, let's just conclude this bit. And we've got quite a way to go. And at the moment, we're looking at a lot of practical things, okay? And I know probably we're not covering as much scripture at the moment, but there's things to be said so that we understand. You know, these are just the basics. Before we go anywhere else, before we look at the other bit, most people go, because, you know, we'll go to Timothy, we'll go to Titus, yeah, if it's all, then you've got the wrong. You know, it doesn't do that. We don't make elders. We don't go to people and say, you're going to be an elder. We don't go to people and say, we've already decided it's you. And we'll see that as we look at the process that we're going to be looking at. So, elders need to express a range of emotion. This is required to minister to the people. Why? Because they have a responsibility to people. People have feelings. And they need not to be afraid when someone expresses anger or joy towards them. That shouldn't affect them. But what they should do is people who can assess and analyse and learn to understand. Now, please don't sit here thinking that's not me. Even you young men. Listen, young men. These lessons are lessons for you to start to adapt. And start to use in your own life. These will make you go in the right direction. You know, maybe later down the line, if God wills, maybe you will be an elder in the body. As we look at this and go into it into more detail, we'll see the key things. So, next time, we will begin to look at the specific qualifications in the scripture. That's what we're looking at next. The specific qualifications with reference to the roles that carry specific responsibilities. And I want to look at it in that way, because if I don't want to muddle things up here, remember we're talking about responsibilities, not ranks of power. But we're talking about tasks within the body of Christ to enable it to function the way that God intended. Okay. Quite a bit in there. Hopefully it's helping. I hope so. We'll keep going. If anybody's got any questions or anything they're not sure about, speak to me, drop me a message, let me know, and I'll make sure that we if it's not going to come up later in future lessons, I'll make sure that we do address it. But I certainly want to cover the whole area of this so that everyone can say, I understand this. So, okay, let's go to the Father in prayer.